Psalm 13 tonight. We're taking a little break from the book of Romans. I mentioned that last week. And we'll pick back up in Romans in May, in June. So tonight, Psalm 13, I invite you to turn to Psalm 13. And we'll just read the psalm, and it's another short psalm. I'd just like to highlight a few things. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So we have in this psalm, someone has said it starts with a deep sigh, followed by a gentle prayer, and it concludes with great joy. Somebody else wrote, it says it advances in waves that are constantly decreasing in length until at last it is only agitated with joy and becomes calm as the sea when smooth as a mirror. But it starts out with these four questions, how long? And it's almost gives a tone of what it's like to be in one of those situations. I'm sure a lot of us have been in situations where we wonder, just how long is it going to last? How long? How long? Well, if it's any consolation, we're not the first to be in that situation. The psalmist and the Lord, by his grace, has put it in the Word of God so we can consider it that this is not new. And as a matter of fact, Spurgeon, who has had a way with words, he called this the howling psalm. The howling psalm. How long? And so we start out with four different situations. The first one, in verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? So we were talking with somebody recently, and she was reminiscing about when she was in kindergarten. She went to the bathroom, and she came out, and there was nobody there. The class had disappeared. And she went to her desk and cried. And then they had gone to an assembly. The teacher came back and found her. They'd forgotten her. But she remembers it to this day. She's an adult. How she gotten forgotten. You might have your own forgotten stories, but it's one thing to be forgotten by our friends and by somebody else. But it's another thing to sense that we've been forgotten by God. Now, what I want to do when I go through these four how longs and some of the other statements in this psalm is to bring out some New Testament truths, because as we saw in the book of Romans, we've been saved by grace. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so we have a bit of an advantage over David, though it's for good cause that God has this in his word, and we still have these situations in our own life, even in the New Testament. But in Hebrews 13, verse 5, we read this, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise we have from God, that he will never leave us or forsake us. So we're looking at Psalm 13, for those of you who just joined us, and we're considering these four how longs. How longs. The second one is, how long will you hide your face from me? And these are anthropomorphisms, however we say that word. God often talks about his face and his hands and his feet and his ears and his mouth and so on. We know that he's not in flesh and blood. But these are so we can understand what he's saying. And often God's face in the Psalms and otherwise, it speaks to us of our fellowship with God. You think of it as FaceTime. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26, we read, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So this is when we sense fellowship with God and we have God's blessing on us. And the psalmist here, David, he says, "How long will you hide your face from me?" He felt that God was hiding from him. He did not sense his presence. Now, in the New Testament, we have in 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And in 2 Corinthians 13:14, we read, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So we may feel distant from God. We may say, "How long is this going to go on?" But we should let the Holy Spirit lead us to pray these prayers and to claim these promises. Then we have a third "how long," verse 2. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" The New American Standard Version says, "How long am I to feel anxious in my soul, with grief in my heart all the day?" And the NIV says, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" Now, that might be an experience that more people have. Questions, anxiety, sorrow in your heart. And the psalmist, David, says, how long does this have to go on? And I read an interesting true story, and I'm going to relate it to you, from C.H. Bullock. He reports this true event. On July 17th, 1996, TWA Flight 800 exploded and crashed into the Atlantic Ocean near East Moriche, New York, just 12 minutes after takeoff. Some of you might remember that. All 230 people on board were killed, making it the third deadliest aviation accident to occur in the United States. Included among the dead were 16 members of the French Club and their five chaperones from Montoursville High School in Pennsylvania. At the memorial service for the students and the chaperones, the pastor began the service by reading from Psalm 13 in this verse. "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day, have sorrow in my heart?" It's hard to envisage that scene. Sorry. Anyways, this verse was a very appropriate feeling. I'm sure they all felt that way, had that tremendous loss. And so the prayer goes out, "How long? How long?" Well, the Lord is here with us, and the Lord, as believers in Christ, we have his promises. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Excuse me. I took part in a number of exchanges like that. It's just hard to think about those kids who died going to France like that. And we can ask, and we all might ask, there's a lot of things where people ask, "How long? How long? How long can this go on?" So David continues on. He has a fourth "how long." "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" And this expresses, once again, the enemy was dominating him, and he got tired of it. And so it is in our life as well. Maybe Satan is winning in our life in certain areas, the sin that so easily besets us. And we say, just how long do I have to put up with this? How long is this going to go on? And of course, we have good promises that we saw in Romans chapter 6 about sin and about the Lord having victory over that. In 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And so on. So he pens out four "how longs," and this was written 3,000 years ago, and yet it can describe a lot of what people feel today. "Has God forgotten me? Has he turned his face against me? I'm overcome with troubles. will the enemy triumph over me? And this can seem to go on for a long time, even with Christ in our hearts, even with Christ in our life, and we battle against it. And it can seem forever. Now, John Phillips, in his commentary on this passage, to illustrate this point about how slow time can go by, he relates this experience he had once with a friend of his. He went into a car factory, and he writes, "Cars roll off the assembly line in a steady stream, yet every vehicle moved at a snail's pace through the factory. I watched the cars being painted and going from one painting room to the drying room. The engineers who designed that plant knew, down to the second, how long it would take for the paint to be fully dry. Not until the exact moment was the car allowed out of the furnace heat. It went into the painting process, dull and drab. It came out at length, a gleaming thing of beauty. Everything was geared to speed, but at the same time, everything was geared down to a snail's pace. A car was not forsaken at any stage. On the contrary, each stage was the result of the highest engineering skill. Our abandonment by God when we hammer at heaven's door does not mean that we have been forgotten or forsaken. The intensity of the trial is controlled from on high. He has something to teach us. He has an end product in mind. Things are moving, but so slowly for our impatient viewpoint that we cannot see it, but he can. So, God has a plan. Now, continuing on down in our psalm, we have in verse 3, he prays. He says, "Consider and hear me, Lord, O my God, and light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, let those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So he asks God to help him, and he leaves it with God. And then in verse 5 he says, "But I have trusted in your mercy, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." So here's the same person who is being honest with himself and expressing his impatience with, you know, how long is this going to go on for? He reminds himself about God's love, and he rejoices in God's salvation. And this word for mercy that we have translated in the New King James, in the ESV it's steadfast love, in the NASB it's faithfulness, in the NIV it's unfailing love. It's this Hebrew word that is spelled H-E-S-E-D, I don't try to pronounce it, but it appears over 125 times in the Psalms, hesed, and it means God's love toward us. So love isn't just a New Testament thing, it was the backbone of the Old Testament, the backbone of the Psalms, and it comes through in almost every Psalm, God's love for us. And he focuses on God's love, and he thinks about that, and his heart starts to rejoice, even in his situations that seem potentially unbearable. And then furthermore, and of course we have in the New Testament, we know that the Lord Jesus died for us. We have God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know what God's love is. Furthermore, he goes on in verse 6, he says, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And this is the same person who is going on with the four how longs. He's thinking about God's love, and now he's singing. And he says, because God has been good to me. And he's rejoicing in his salvation. And of course, we know the Apostle Paul. He says to us, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." So the psalmist, by faith, because we don't, seemingly, he's still in his situations. He's singing to the Lord because he knows that God loves him, and he knows that God has a plan for him, and he rejoices in the Lord by faith. So that's something we can do, of course, whatever our situation is, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's normal that things don't always work out quickly, don't always happen the way we want them to. That just seems to be the way things are. But God has a plan for each one of those things, and his plan, he's doing a work in our heart, and he invites us to look to him, consider his love for us, And in fact, we can even sing by faith. So sometimes when we're disappointed with God, it's not a reason to turn our back on him. Psalm 13 encourages us to continue looking to him, to speak honestly with him. David did that. He was honest. He didn't say, yeah, this is great. No, he said, it's not. But by faith, he looked to God, remembered his love, and sang praises to his name. So here are some discussion questions as we go to our groups. And in thinking about the psalm, one, why do you think God included Psalm 13 in Holy Scripture? Two, Psalm 13 identifies four how long scenarios, feeling forgotten by God, not sensing his fellowship, troubled in our spirit, defeated by the enemy. What scenario are you the most familiar with? Third question, is there a how long situation in your life that you would like special prayer for? Four, what fundamental truth mentioned in this psalm undergirds the Psalms and the whole Bible? And five, how do we sing praises to God when life isn't exactly where we want it to be? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy and precious word. We pray, Lord, that it would be an encouragement to us and a help to us. And we do praise and thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.